This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
The opening night of the Republican National Convention just ended. What were the highlights? Donald Trump has been an unconventional candidate from the start, and he did something unprecedented. He showed up on stage at the first night of his convention. He did that to introduce his wife, Melania, who gave a speech testifying to his warmth, his good humor, his generosity, his devotion to America. That's all designed to increase his appeal to swing voters who may not yet be persuaded that they want to vote for him.
If you want someone to fight for you and your country, I can assure you, he's the guy.
Melania Trump was cheered near the close of the convention, but the convention opened on its first day in protest and division. There was chaos on the convention floor in a dispute over whether there should be a roll call vote on the convention rules. That underscored the reality that not every Republican delegate here wants to nominate Donald Trump. One more thing, a lot of bashing of Hillary Clinton, the presumptive Democratic nominee. At one point, a speaker said, Hillary for prison. That got a big cheer.
Well, just some of the highlights, and we got more to share with you, from Washington Examiner reporter Jason Russell in just a little bit. Of course, a lot of eyes, a lot of attention on this Republican National Convention in Cleveland, Ohio. From Donald Trump, who is holding on to the moniker that he is the law and order candidate. And we'll see how that gains traction. Of course, last night's theme was let's make America safe again. Tonight it will be make America work again. You're going to have headlining speakers like Kerry Woolard, general manager of Trump Winery, which would be interesting because Trump Winery has come under some scrutiny and, some of the debates and certainly what the Hillary camp has had to say. Look for Donald Trump Jr. to come on stage. And a lot of people are looking forward to hearing the wisdom of Dr. Ben Carson, U.S. Senator Shelley Moore Capito, a Republican from West Virginia, and Kimberlyn Brown, a soap opera actress, will be here to talk about making America work again. And also, Trump's lesser-known daughter, Tiffany Trump, is scheduled to be one of the headline speakers. Not heard a whole lot about Tiffany Trump, but she seems to have been more active in the campaign in the most recent months. So it'll be interesting to hear what she has to share with Republicans and with America for tonight's theme, Make America Work Again. And then tomorrow it'll be Make America First Again, and then Thursday's theme will be Make America One Again. I think it's quite interesting that they've been able to hold on to these themes and kind of set each day up accordingly. I think last night in Making America Safe Again, you had great appeals from Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, who was on the short list of Donald Trump's VP list. Joni Ernst also highly considered and respected, and she's been a supporter of Trump. And, of course, the RNC has been ripe with controversy, and that will continue. And though people want to talk about Melania's speech, I think overall it was well-received. I mean, here is a mother, someone who grew up in a communist environment, and she's now a citizen, came here legally, and is now a citizen. I think she celebrated 10 years, she said last night. 10 years as an American citizen says a lot about the dreams that still work and that is still that light on a hill that draws people to our country, that it is of the land of opportunity, and what hard work and dedication and dreams, what they can do for people. And hers is another one of the many success stories that get lost sometimes in the translation. We've got more. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson. Injury Help Desk is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention, prescription antibiotic drug users. Have you or a loved one suffered an aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm after taking the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox? These popular antibiotic drugs have been prescribed more than 80 million times since 2004, and medical studies show an increased risk of the following injuries: aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, and abdominal aortic aneurysm. If you or a loved one use the prescription antibiotic drugs Levaquin or Avalox and suffered from aortic dissection, aortic aneurysm, or abdominal aortic aneurysm, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. You may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851. 800-823-3851.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on, stop.
Hey, welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com, and you want to get involved in the conversation, share a thought or two, hey, by all means, drop me a line, Bill@BillMartinezLive.com. Comes to me direct, it's NSA approved. And by the way, while you're doing that, tell me to put your name in the running for those free Miracle of Heaven DVD Blu-ray discs that we're giving away. Make sure you include your address. Well, night one is under the belt, Make America Safe Again. And Jason Russell is with us. He's a commentary writer for the Washington Examiner. And Jason says, or writes, why this Republican won't support Donald Trump. Jason Russell, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Hey, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, no, good to have you here. And, you know, and it's good to have your perspective. We need to have some balance in what you saw in terms of the highlights of RNC1.
Well, yeah, it was definitely an interesting day. And people, I think the first big controversy, you know, certainly not the first controversy, but the first big controversy that everyone can remember was just over this floor vote issue. And certain delegates from several states wanted to have a roll call vote on the rules package and the nominating process for 2020. But the RNC eventually determined that they didn't have sufficient support to do that. Now, they didn't do that in the most transparent way, so it kind of seems like they may have fudged the rules a little bit. I mean, nobody knows for sure, but either way, they could have been more transparent about it and gotten, a lot of controversy to go, blow over instead of settle down for the next few days.
Yeah, I'm like you on that too. I'm for transparency. Transparency takes away all the, all the opinion. You know, I say in the absence of fact, opinion rules. And you're right. I think it's something that could have been blunted very quickly. You know, go ahead, you know, test the vote, see what's going on. But obviously, Reince Priebus and, the Rules Committee didn't want to have anything to do with it. They just, for them, they believed it was a foregone conclusion that they just didn't have the numbers. But I think that, if you'd have let it play itself out and demonstrate not only to the people that, were against Trump, and to everybody else that they didn't have the numbers, it would kind of just make it go away, wouldn't it?
Yeah, and I think, it's very clear that they were, even if they did acquiesce and do a roll call vote, that the party officials would have won the vote, probably by a large margin. Mm-hmm. But, when they did their initial voice vote, it's very clear that it was difficult to tell, whether the ayes or the nays had it. If the party cares about making sure that these votes are actually accurate and reflect what they think they reflect, then
exactly,
they should have done the roll call vote and gotten those numbers down hard and fast instead of just guessing. Yeah, that sounded louder, I guess.
Right. Well, it's kind of reminiscent of what happened with, the Democratic National Convention. If you remember the last time, Villaraigosa was up there as one of the co-chairs, and they did a voice vote, and it was obvious it didn't come out. I mean, it was real obvious. Last night it was kind of close. I mean, it's kind of close. You could say, okay, it's there. I mean, depending on what you want to hear, but I mean, with the DNC, it was real obvious. You got it wrong. You know, we're still going to go, you know. So it's politics is fun, and, you know, that's why we like to talk about it, I guess, is because I think more than anything else, it just exposes our own failings and our own humanity, I guess, you know.
Yeah, exactly. And I think, you know, in the end, it's not going to be a big issue. No one's going to, you know, put up a fight over this and say that, you know, it had cast a pall over the whole proceedings or anything like that. But, you know, it certainly could have gone smoother. Either way, I think, you know, the evening's proceedings kind of overshadowed that. You know, it seemed like, once the evening speeches started, that, there was probably going to be positive news coming out of that night. But then, we had the revelation that some of Melania Trump's speech seemed to be plagiarized. And so now that's kind of the big news story for the day. And that's probably going to be the only thing we talked about until the afternoon or evening proceedings get started tonight.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate. Again, you know, and like you mentioned, in the spirit of transparency, if they just, you know, stepped up and, hey, look, it made a mistake, whatever, you know, we meant to change that part. It was we wanted to have something in there about family life or whatever. But it just seems their responses are just spin. And it really just doesn't make it go away. That's the problem, you know, whether, you know, it's the Democrats or anybody politically, if you're not willing to face the truth. You know, I always tell people here, it's just, you know, for those of us that have kids, you always know when they're lying to you. It bothers you. I mean, it keeps you up at night. You just go, I can't let this thing go. I know I'm not getting the whole truth and nothing but, you know, but, you know, there's just ways to make this thing go along to where, you know, the story is about, you know, the highlights, the true highlights of the convention and not some of these exceptions, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I think, certainly these were kind of like unforced errors on the Trump campaign and on the Republican National Committee. If they had just let that roll call vote go and do it, then that wouldn't be a big news story. And if, you know, Melania Trump's speech had been normal, then everybody would be talking about how great it was and how great the speech Rudy Giuliani gave and all the other big highlights from last night. So
yeah, I thought the concept of making America safe again and the people they had there, Pat Smith, I mean, her plea, I mean, it just, it's just heartbreaking, you know, to hear her story and how committed she is and, you know, to hold Hillary accountable for, you know, lying to her. And again, it's another one of those things where, you know, it is admittedly, and I agree with you, an unforced error instead of people just stepping up and saying, yeah, look, we misassessed this or whatever and just own it. But in the name of politics, I guess you can't own any failings.
I do think that's sort of unique to the Trump campaign. You know, in some of this coverage, people are being reminded about the 2008 instance of Obama, some crib notes from Deval Patrick's speeches, and then Obama just basically said, yep, I cribbed those speeches. I thought they were very good. But that's not something that, even in light of all of the pretty overwhelming evidence, and this is only like three sentences, it's not the whole speech anyway.
Exactly,
right. You know, that's just not in the Trump campaign's DNA to own up and admit a mistake.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. Like Judith Miller said, there's 22 of the 24 words are taken from, you know, I mean, they match up, you know, so it's kind of hard, you know, you got your hand in the cookie jar here in some form or fashion.
Exactly. Yeah, the point I've been making is that I could, you know, write an op-ed with the same exact line of thinking and same exact point of view as someone else, but it's still a one in a million chance that we're going to have as much overlap in our language as, the Melania Trump, Michelle Obama speeches did.
Yeah. Well, again, the party didn't help itself when it booed Rachel Campus Duffy that you wrote about. I mean, I couldn't believe that. About her parents coming from Mexico, and I mean, come on, are you kidding me?
Yeah, it was pretty disgusting. I mean, this is someone that one is married to a very popular Republican congressman, and it was on that stage to be someone of importance and there to rally the troops. So it's pretty just shocking to see that her heritage was being booed right to her face.
Yes.
That there was, to be fair, it was like some light booing and then, you know, some cheers kind of tried to crowd out that booing. And Steve played it off very well. He just laughed.
Yes.
So I think when she wrote that speech, she had to think, maybe this would be an issue. I don't know. It was funny, though.
Well, yeah, it's, I don't know, disturbingly ironic. I agree with you a bit on this. And Jason Russell from the Washington Examiner. Jason, thank you so much for chiming in, giving us an update on RNC1. This is Bill Martinez. We're live.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. 800-808-5181. That's 800-808-5181.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
No, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home or business or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
There is an affordable alternative to the high cost of healthcare that offers freedom from insurance while providing compliance with the Obamacare individual mandate. Imagine having access to quality, affordable healthcare that allows you the freedom to choose your doctor and hospital. Members can share up to 100% of necessary medical expenses, including some alternative treatments. Find out how you and your family can contain healthcare costs without giving up your freedom. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Attention backpackers, on a budget, why spend $80 to $300 to pump clean survival water? Introducing the Viva Water Pump Kit from Viva Outdoor Products. Super easy to use and super lightweight at only 6.5 ounces, the Viva Water Pump Kit provides high flow rate at 1 ounce per stroke, can be one hand pumped, and is dependable and affordable at only $24.99, filter not included. Get your Viva Water Pump Kit at viba-odp.com from Viva Outdoor Products.
A note to D.C. bureaucrats. You're not getting away with it. Bill Martinez, live.
Oh, when my baby smiled at me, I go to Rio de Janeiro. I'm a salsa fellow. When my baby smiles at me, the shuttle lightens up my life. And I am free at last. What a blast.
Your Martinez live.
You know, my son is calling this, Scott, the Zika virus song. Oh, my gosh. I know it's not funny, and we got to be careful about what's going on. You know, we've talked to so many people about the Zika virus and, you know, what the threat could possibly be for Olympians, you know, going to Rio de Janeiro, which is turning into a hot spot for Zika. And, of course, a lot of the athletes, Rory McIlroy announced, I think, a couple weeks ago, said he ain't going. LeBron, I ain't going. I'm sure the wife unit said, you ain't going. So, oh, yeah, that's me. I'm not going. You know, so and you don't blame them. I mean, in the interest of protecting, you know, their family and their interest. But what's, you know, very concerning, as one expert has said, is that you still got 170 nations going to Rio de Janeiro. And guess what? After the Olympics are over, they're coming back home. And are they going to, you know, spread the disease? I mean, does this make sense, you know, that we shouldn't be a little bit more guarded? Well, we're talking about, you know, the Zika virus. It is a hot topic in the news this summer, but how much do you actually know about this mosquito-transmitted infection and how it can spread during this popular summer travel time? Now, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, has reported dozens of suspected cases of Zika virus in the United States. That's not Zika. That's just a cough from Dublin. Excuse me. Anyway, the CDC, like I said, has reported dozens of suspected cases of the Zika virus in the U.S. The outbreak of this virus means it's more important than ever to protect our blood supply. Now, the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has guidelines for blood banks in an effort to prevent the contamination of the nation's blood supply with the virus. In areas where local Zika transmissions are occurring, the FDA calls for the use of a new technology known as pathogen reduction. Now, that is to reduce the risk of patients receiving blood infected with Zika. Now, we've got Dr. Richard Benjamin, who's going to be coming on in just a moment, and he will explain a little bit more for us. He is the chief medical officer of Cirrus Corporation, and Dr. Benjamin was appointed as chief medical officer of Cirrus Corporation in July of 2015. Previously, he served as chief medical officer for the American Red Cross, where he oversaw donor and patient safety issues for 40% of the U.S. blood supply. Now, prior to the Red Cross, he served as a medical director at the Adult Transfusion Service at the Joint Program in Transfusion Medicine at Harvard University. Dr. Benjamin is a board member and regional director for North America for the International Society of Blood Transfusion, as well as an active member of the American Association of Blood Banks. So we hope to assuage and bring some enlightenment over this misunderstood virus. It's misunderstood right now because, you know, I think that it's very complicated in light of, you know, the Olympics and what's going on. Do we have all the information we need to have in order to, you know, make some wise choices? And Dr. Benjamin hopefully will be on shortly and give us some guidelines and what we can expect this summer and traveling, and you know, some good safety ideas that you know, you need to hear and share with your loved ones. You know, and get the word out there about, you know, what the Zika virus is and, you know, what it isn't, and why, you know, why it's so doggone important to protect our blood supply. And you know, and do we have any kind of evidence that the Zika virus has been spread through blood transfusions? And the FDA has issued guidelines to protect the nation's blood supply. And, you know, again, he'll break all that down and give us some more information. So meanwhile, while we wait for Dr. Benjamin, I will say that, you know, whatever, you know, ideas, thoughts you may have, questions you may have, feel free to, you know, drop us a line, bill@billmartinezlive.com, because we're going to continue to talk about the Zika virus. You know, it's important that we keep you apprised of what's going on and to bring experts on, you know, like Dr. Benjamin to enlighten us. So, whatever thoughts you may have, you know, even to the point of, you know, as we brought out earlier last week with our interviews with the experts talking about the Olympics, you know, what are we opening ourselves up to in terms of this globalization of America, this globalistic idea that we have that says that we should leave ourselves vulnerable and open, that we shouldn't, protect ourselves. You know, already the athletes, I mean, they're, you know, some of these higher paid athletes, and they know, hey, look, they're the franchise for their families and their teams and that sort of thing. And they're not going to risk it. And so they're opting not to participate. And, of course, there's a lot more dealing with Rio. You know, as one expert suggested, that maybe the Olympics should be canceled altogether because they seem to be ill-prepared. They've got security issues. The police are not real happy right there. Their first responders are having issues that, could be problematic, in the operation and just in the overall safety of the Olympics. Is that a problem? Then you bring in the Zika virus and how it's impacted that area. And are we sending, like I said, 170 nations, people from 170 nations representing? I mean, this is a, traditional Olympic event, You see thousands of athletes, coming into an area. What do you say?
And what we know about it is it's spread mostly by the bite of an infected Aedes species mosquito.
Mm-hmm.
It can be passed from a pregnant woman to her fetus, which can cause infection during pregnancy, can cause certain birth defects. Zika is not currently being spread by mosquitoes in the continental United States. And the mosquitoes that can carry Zika are found in some areas of the United States.
But we've had some reports of people being infected by Zika. It just hasn't been spread here in the United States. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's not coming through mosquitoes right now. I guess they're trying to figure out. I guess somebody that passed away in Utah had Zika, and they passed it on to somebody after they were already dead. It passed on to somebody that had handled their body. Wow. So they're trying to figure out how that happened.
Well, aren't they saying that it can be sexually transmitted as well?
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, it can be passed from a pregnant woman to her fetus. And I'm assuming that, the big concern is that if you get bitten by it, it would be in your bloodstream, and it's something that you could probably transfer to either, the mother of your children or, girlfriends or whatever.
Right.
And there is currently there is no vaccine or medicine for Zika.
Right. And that was the other thing, too, that I was asked about. Somebody said, well, what about, any medicine or any inoculation? And to reinforce what you said, that was my understanding as well, is that it's just not there yet. And what are they talking, a couple of years before they're able to, get it produced in mass to where it could, really have any effect? Is that what they're saying?
As far as what now?
As far as the antigen or, the inoculation for Zika virus, you said there's no, there's none right now available?
There's nothing like that available at the moment. They haven't come up with it. The big thing is that if you're bitten by the Zika virus, you would then be, any mosquito that bites you that is of the 80s species or whatever, can then become a carrier of Zika. So,
well,
it's not a good thing. This might be one of those, this is one of those years of the Olympics where when a guy like LeBron says he doesn't want to go, I can't blame him.
No, I don't blame any of the athletes for doing it. And, in fact, when the one expert that we talked with, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, Scott, when he said that he really believed that they should seriously consider canceling the Olympics, I thought, wow, considering not only Zika, but also the problems they're having in the different venues, police enforcement, protection of people, maybe that might be wisdom, but anyway. Unfortunately, Dr. Benjamin did not make it, but hey, look, we've got more to talk about. Stay with us, America. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 29 after the top of the hour.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website, powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-765-1480 or go to web.com/radio. That's 800-765-1480.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
To a professional trader in precious metals, the key is spot price. Spot price is market price, what gold or silver actually costs on the exchange. Regular people looking to invest never get spot price because resellers add fees for everything. Refining, minting, brokerage costs, commissions. The public is never offered spot price. Until now. In a limited new customer outreach, JM Bullion offers you the chance to own a 10-ounce bar of pure silver at spot price. No fees, commissions, markups, not even a shipping cost. Now, through JM Bullion, own the most real investment of all, at real cost. Not a piece of paper from Wall Street or a bank. A 10-ounce bar of silver, at spot price. That's a solid investment. But you must act now. Go online to realpricesilver.com for this limited time offer. That's realpricesilver.com. Realpricesilver.com. Limit one offer per household, 50 United States only.
We the people. Listen to Bill Martinez live.
A different story. Voice of truth. Says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me.
Bill Martinez, live.
I'll tell you, you got to choose what you want to listen to. You know, the voice of truth is there, but if we continue to ignore it and we want to stick in the realm of opinion and just kind of flap our gums about it, well, then the chaos will continue here in this country. This is why, you know, I am just so committed to pursuing truth no matter where it leads. And this is why we're also so committed to having the bevy, I might say, and the breadth of experts, you know, on this radio show. Excuse me. So that, you know, we can bring, you know, the truth to you as objectively and as best that we know how. With us right now is a former Vietnam prisoner of war, U.S. Air Force retired Colonel Lee Ellis, nationally recognized leadership consultant, award-winning author, and expert presenter. His new book is titled Engage with Honor, Building a Culture of Courageous Accountability. Colonel Lee Ellis, it's an honor to have you with us here on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Good morning, Bill. Thank you. Great to be with you.
Well, excuse me. I'm dealing with a little bit of Dublin cough. I had 12 hours of a flight from Dublin a couple of days ago, and I managed to get a little bit of a cough here, so you know, so I apologize up front. But, you know, I've been looking forward to this conversation with you because, you know, this is something that is a core value that we need to reconnect with, and that is engaging with honor. I mean, this country, you know, its founding principles, I think just absolutely in the woof and wharf of our DNA is honor, the issue of honor of this country. and we've disconnected from that somehow over the years.
Yes, we have, and it's a sad thing. I think it's always been around, and for me growing up, it was strong in my home and family and community and church and school. That idea was prevalent, and you had your name to protect. You know, it kind of kept me out of trouble growing up because I didn't want to embarrass my family and dishonor my family. People, you know, there's an issue with shame. We don't want to shame people, but at the same time, there needs to be shame on ourselves. We don't want to bring shame on ourselves. And so we need to be aware of that, I think.
Well, if we're not going to be held accountable, and I know we've gotten so sensitive in our culture where everybody gets a trophy for just showing up. And, you know, there is some value in shame and understanding that that's part of the boundary. I mean, you can live with shame or without shame.
Right.
If you do things that are shameful, well, then, you know, people are going to look at you that way. But if you don't, if you want to mute that because of political correctness or you don't want to hurt anybody's feelings in this warm and fuzzy world in which we live in, I mean, we're being unrealistic. And as a result, is it any wonder that we have developed the culture that we have today? And many people, I mean, my father, if he was still alive, would just go, what is going on with this country? In not so many words. I mean, you know, he'd have a different way of saying it, but it would still, you know, you'd get the point. And I think a lot of Americans, you know, like, you know, with our generation and considering all that you've gone through, Colonel, I mean, as a POW, I mean, you're a POW for 5 years and you had to make a decision. Was that going to break you or was that going to make you?
Well, exactly. And, you know, our whole mission, vision, and values there was wrapped around the whole idea of return with honor. Well, we desperately wanted to go home and return, but it had to be with honor. So that drove us every day, and that accountability that we put on ourselves, it was there corporately in the community of POWs, but it started within ourselves. We held ourselves accountable to do the very best we could to live up to our code of conduct, to be faithful to our teammates, and not disloyal to our country. So that was a very strong thing. You know, when I was working on this recent book, Engaged with Honors, I was writing along in the early chapters, which I really struggled with because I was trying to capture this whole idea of honor and present it in a way that would fit, that people would see the point and want to do something about it. And the idea that accountability, it came to me that accountability is the guardian companion of our honor. If we don't have accountability, we're human beings, and we will get off track and slide away. You know, Jim and Tammy Baker, I think, started out to do the honorable thing.
Right.
But as they got more power and money and they didn't have any accountability, and they just slid right off the table.
Well, we've seen that happen time and again with leaders in any form of company and business where, you know, things get out of control. And like you say, there's no accountability. I mean, in our government today, we have politicians that are quick to talk about transparency. But it's just rhetoric. There really is no true accountability. They can lie to you, misrepresent things, you know, discombobulate the whole process and really destroy, you know, history in the process, because we need to know historically the mistakes that we made so we don't repeat them. But they will tell you time and again, Colonel, they'll say, we need to get to the bottom of this so we don't do this again. Oh, really? You know, but to your point, there's no accountability, and no accountability, we lose the lesson.
Well, we love to point the finger at other people, but it's holding ourselves, and this is kind of my thesis, all accountability has to start with you, the individual, and what you're doing about it within yourself and with your immediate domain, your family, your community, and your business or organizational environment, that you have to set the example, you have to be above reproach. And really, as a leader, you have to avoid the appearance of dishonorable behavior.
Right.
You know, we were taught that in the military. It wasn't just that we were not supposed to do illegal things and dishonorable stuff, but we were supposed to avoid the appearance of it.
Yes.
You know, I think that's a big issue right now. People are not concerned about that because they think that the accountability will just slide right by.
Well, you bring up a good point here, and I don't want people to miss this, and that is the fact that accountability starts with us. If we ourselves are not accountable, we're not going to recognize when accountability is not in play, right?
Only we'll recognize it when it's to our advantage, if we can point somebody else out and make them look bad and ourselves look good in the moment. Or if you're a politician, obviously, you know, that's the the thing everybody goes for now is to sling mud at the other person and try to hold them accountable, but not be accountable themselves. So, but you're right. It does begin with ourselves. And I'll tell you, it's hard. You know, Bill, it's hard. It's not easy. Everybody thinks, oh, I'm a person of good character. Well, you may believe in those things, but unless you have a lot of courage, you will not be able to stay on course. I guarantee you. And
you know,
what we see is, as a leadership consultant, the thing that takes people out and gets them into dishonorable behavior, it's always fear, doubt, and greed, which are all underpinning, really, is the real issue is courage.
And like everything, it's a process, isn't it? I mean, it's not like just all of a sudden somebody wakes up one day and they kick accountability out the door. It's all so subtle. It's just a micro inch at a time. And next thing you know, you look back and you go, how did I get here? How did I make this choice? You know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's drift. It's slippery there. It's drift. You know, Bill George, the former CEO of Medtronic and leadership consultant now for one of the Eastern schools, he has a book called True North. And I think that's a great expression because, you know, North is where we all our compasses are referenced to. And that's where we need to stay focused is what's the right thing? What are the non-negotiables that we need to stay focused on? Because otherwise we'll drift. And, you know, in the Watergate hearing, or in the book that Jeb Magruder wrote when he went to jail, he was one of the Watergate conspirators.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he said, you know, I was raised in a good home, good parents. I was taught right and wrong. But somewhere along the way, I lost my ethical compass. He drifted.
Yes.
It could happen to any of us.
Exactly. We have to, again, you know, part of our True North position is to appreciate that we're all human. We're not perfect. We can make mistakes. But we have to decide, you know, how we're going to be remembered, and are we going to engage with honor, and are we going to commit ourselves to building a culture of courageous accountability, as you write in your book. His plane was shot down in Vietnam. He says those 5 years as a POW taught him what it takes to be a leader. We're visiting with Colonel Lee Ellis, retired U.S. Air Force officer. More from the colonel on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. It's 18 before the top of the hour right now.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Are you worried about how dangerous the world has become? In these days of terrorist attacks, natural disasters, or even a future collapse, you need to be medically prepared to keep your family safe. I'm Joe Alton, MD of store.doomandbloom.net, where you'll find an entire line of uniquely designed medical kits and supplies for when help is not on the way. For everything from individual first aid kits to the ultimate family medical bag, go to store.doomandbloom.net today. That's store.doomandbloom.net. You'll be glad you did.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At Bill Martinez Live, we have a healthy body blood sugar pack focusing on structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 855-305-8326. That's 855-305-8326.
This is a warning to all household pests, to all cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. If you've just made yourself at home in someone else's home, you'd better hope the owners never hear about Terminix. Because Terminix has the know-how and the means to do whatever it takes to remove you from that home. Terminix has over 85 years of experience exterminating invaders like you. And right now, they're making it easier than ever for homes to be protected by offering a free pest estimate to every caller at 1-800-676-1468. Cockroaches, spiders, ants, rodents, and other pests. This is your eviction notice. With one call, Terminix will remove you from the home you've invaded. If you think you can simply come back later, think again. Terminix will protect that home with a 100% satisfaction money-back guarantee so you can never return. Warning, homeowners are calling Terminix right now for a free pest estimate at 1-800-676-1468. 1-800-676-1468.
Limitations apply. See plan for details.
Would you like to receive $250 to $1,000 cash per day? Go to richmoneyrich.com. No website, no selling, no explaining. Just take these simple two steps and go to richmoneyrich.com. You can be generating cash in the next 24 hours simply using the system. Good news is, it runs on 100% autopilot and you don't need any experience to get started. It's easy. Get your share of riches and go to richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. Go now. Brought to you by the Conservative Investor. Current returns not indicative of future results.
You're listening to Bill Martinez Live.
Hard to get you into my life.
Well, sooner or later, we're going to get you. Welcome back, America. 14 before the top of the hour. I am Bill Martinez, and our conversation with Colonel Lee Ellis, retired United States Air Force Colonel, is with us. His plane was shot down over Vietnam. He says those 5 years as a POW taught him what it takes to be a leader, if you can imagine. He is the youngest POW in his camp. Colonel Ellis worked with men who were committed to leading honorably, even under the most difficult circumstances. Colonel, we can only imagine what you endured and what you witnessed there in 5 years in, you know, being imprisoned as a POW in Vietnam. You talk of torture, horrible beatings, and you saw leaders and older servicemen and leaders that were, you know, just so horribly treated, but yet they stood as examples and taught you so much, right?
Oh yeah, yeah. We learned so much from about leadership from the example of those ahead of us, so to speak, in front of us. Most of that sort of stuff is caught a lot more than it's taught. It needs to be taught, but ultimately, I think when we see it in the flesh, we decide that's the way things are supposed to be. And I saw these fabulous, incredibly courageous, committed leaders with character, courage, and commitment that took the brunt of the torture and the beatings and just kept bouncing back and remained loyal, continued to lead in such an amazing way. And I said, that's the kind of person I want to be. I want to be like that. Well, I knew I needed a lot more courage. So I learned to grow in courage by learning to just lean into the pain of your doubts and fears and do what you know is right. You know, what's the next right step or next right thing to do and go do it. And you just keep doing that long enough and it becomes a habit and you actually do grow in courage.
Exactly. And that's, to your point, is a process. And that process differential, I call it the grief to happiness ratio. You know, where you are at this day and where you should be. And of course, sometimes, you know, where you should be, that line will be moved because as we learn more about ourselves, that line just naturally moves to say, you know, I could be a little bit better in these areas if, you know, if you're more mindful of it, right?
Right. Yeah. I just, you know, all growth in life and especially leadership development, but all growth comes from starting with self-awareness. We have to know what's the starting point? Who are we now, and where do we want to grow to? What's the gap? What will it take? You know, for me as a leader, becoming a better listener has been very helpful, sometimes being more organized, sometimes delegating quicker rather than hanging on to stuff. Those are some areas of growth that I'll probably always have to work in those areas. I'll never get them mastered because they're just running counter to my natural flow. So I have to work at those, but I work at them enough so that they're not problematic.
Exactly. Well, in your book, you address why becoming an honorable leader requires character, courage, and commitment. We've touched on that a little bit, but I want to give you a little bit more time to unfold that, you know, for our audience.
Yeah. Character, I think, is a very broad subject. If we could narrow it down very simply and say it's the things that we know that are right and that we're committed to doing, we believe that a good person ought to do. Those are the foundation for our character. And we can say that we have good character. I think everybody, everybody will say they have good character. Mm-hmm. But the reality is for them to actually behave and respond and act and speak and make decisions based on good character will take a lot of courage. And, that's where people fall down is they want to do the right thing, but they start putting it off and then they make a mistake, but they don't want to be exposed and having made a mistake or done the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. So then they cover it up and it just continues to pile up because exactly. all because of a lack of courage. And then the commitment is the part that keeps bringing you back and bouncing back so that, yeah, I made a mistake, but I corrected it and I'm a better person today than I was yesterday. So I'm just staying with it. I'm not giving up on it.
It's coming back to that true north again we talked about, right?
Yes, it is. Correcting back to true north. Yep.
Well, here we are in this season, this election season that we're in for 2016. We're about to choose a new president. And, I mean, your book couldn't be more timely when we talk about engaging with honor. When we consider the candidates, according to polling evidence, you know, their trustworthiness, you know, quotients and polling evidence is quite questionable. And I think it's a bit shocking, and it should be a wake-up call for us here in America to realize that here we are. I mean, we're making a choice between two people here that you know probably need to take notes on your book.
Yeah, it's you know, I think it's an interesting year. I kind of foreshadowed that in my mind when I was writing this book. I thought this is going to be an interesting and timely book because the issue of honor is obviously going to raise its head on both sides as we go down this because it always does when you have a big-time political race. Honor comes up a lot. They may not call it that, but that's really a lot what it's about because most times one side will try to throw mud at the other side and say they're dishonorable people. So it does come up, and I just think it's so important that people look at the issues of conduct, behavior, how a person operates, you know, do they show character, do they show courage, and do they show commitment over a long period of time? Everybody makes mistakes. You know, you could dig some stuff up on me, I'm sure, because I've made mistakes. I was young once and made a lot more than I make now, but I still make mistakes. So, but the issue is a person willing to be open about it and make corrections back, or do they cover it up and cover it up and just keep getting worse? I think that's a big issue for voters to look at.
Exactly. Colonel, how does honor relate to integrity? Is it one and the same?
Yeah, I think honor is probably a little bit broader, but I'd say integrity is probably the biggest chunk of what we think of as honor. Honor seems a little bit more expansive. Integrity is absolutely central for leadership, and maybe honor is more descriptive of what happens when you have integrity. A person who has high integrity probably and is able to maintain that over and over again, you would probably say that's a very honorable person. Mm-hmm. They have honorable behaviors because they're doing the right thing, they're obeying the law, they are telling the truth. You know, we came out with an honor code 2 years ago, and there are 7 articles to it, but number one is tell the truth. Number 2 is treat others with respect. 3 is keep your commitments, keep your promises. 4 is be responsible, do your duty. Write down the list there and then live your values and be ethical. So if you do those things, you know, you're going to be an honorable person.
Now, with your company, you interact with a lot of business leaders, you know, the likes of the Donald Trumps and would-be Donald Trumps of America. And they have so much to learn from your experience as a POW. And at that point, when you were a prisoner of war, you were fairly young. So I doubt that you really thought, hey, I'm going to utilize this down the road. It probably unfolded for you as life translated. And now here you are to share the benefits of what you learned in that prisoner of war camp to industry-oriented future success individuals, men and women.
Yeah, I think we always learn more from hardship and suffering than we do from good times. Mm-hmm. It sinks in more. The lessons are much more clear when you've gone through, a cauldron that's burned and hurt. And so I feel like for myself, those lessons came through very clear, but also the willingness to sacrifice. I know what's really important, and I feel like I'm willing to sacrifice for those things that are really important. Everything's not important. You know, I lived with everything I could carry for 5.5 years. I lived with everything I could carry under my arm, and we depended on our enemy for our food and shelter, and yet at the same time, we had to resist them and push back on them every day and actually almost at war with them. So it's a very difficult situation, but from that, we learned a lot about independence and about honor and about not selling ourselves out, I guess you might say.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the book, you note your latest assessment tool called the Leadership Behavior DNA Discovery Process. Mm-hmm. Is this something that we could utilize today in the selection of our presidential candidate?
Well, it would tell you the DNA behavior assessment for leadership really tells you what the person's leadership strengths and struggles are. Mm-hmm. And the reality is you can be a president or a CEO or leader in any organization with any kind of DNA, with any kind of personality. I can show you, you look at Abraham Lincoln, he was so different from than Bill Clinton. They were totally opposite, let's say. So you can be a great president or a CEO regardless of your personality, but you'll have different strengths and it will look different, and you'll have different struggles that you'll have to work on. So that's where we use it for development, is how can you grow to the next level with that insight that you get. We said earlier that having self-awareness is the beginning for any development, and having that self-awareness of what are my strengths and what are my struggles, that's one thing, and then understanding the other people around you also. Now, if we gave the candidates the leadership behavior DNA, we would say, and these two right now probably are fairly similar in many ways, mm-hmm. and they would have some differences, but they would have a lot of similarities. They're both kind of take charge people. They're mm-hmm. both fairly strategic. They're both pretty results oriented. So there'd be a lot of similarities in the two. Their values might be different. Their experience might be different, but their personalities and their natural talents would be fairly similar, I'd say.
Well, in your book, you say the most important piece of advice for members of the younger generation, and you say younger generation, but I'd say for all of us, this is pertinent, and that is to aspire to become strong leaders.
Yeah, I think so. We want to set the example for others. We want to influence. Everybody has the opportunity to influence somebody. And we want to be a good example. And the best way to be a good example is to be a good person and to understand character, courage,
exactly.
and competence and commitment. And when you do those things, people are going to notice you there. People are looking for somebody who's authentic.
Exactly.
And we're talking about True North.
Well, Lee, we're all out of time. Thank you so much. Lee Ellis, author of the book Engage with Honor on Bill Martinez Live.
Building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Hunters, anglers, campers.